The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Welcome back to the second hour of the 9 till noon show. It's Michaela Clark in this morning for Greg Hughes. Just to let you know that the phone lines for that mega summer draw that I mentioned just before the news at 10 are now open. So you can give us a call on 07491 25,000 euro. I was just reading you can win €20,000 in cash. Just to give you a reminder of the prizes, so you can buy a ticket today for Highland Radio's Mega Summer Draw and you will have five chances to win big. Every Friday from the 15th of August, which is this Friday, to the 5th of September, we will be giving away €2,500 in cash. And that's not all. On Friday the 5th of September, on the 9 till noon show, we will be drawing a ticket where one lucky person will win €10,000. You can buy a ticket on highlandradio.com. Click on the draw link and you can get one ticket for €15 or five for €50. And you can also give us a call on 07491 25,000 and we'll be happy to process that ticket for you. A few of your comments now. Hello, I was spectating the cycling event at the weekend and I was travelling on some of the same roads, which as a legal driver I am titled to. I came round the very blind corner where Mervyn was moving his sheep just outside Greencastle. There was no warnings that he was moving his sheep until I was on top of them. Luckily I wasn't travelling fast or could have been very different outcome for myself, Mervyn and the sheep. Nice to get both sides of the story. Thanks for getting in touch on that. I am watching the Gaza issue and I can't understand why people are protesting outside the hospital and the roundabout. Why not stand outside the companies with direct Israeli links? This event, which is the 555, is going on for 10 years now. If Mary doesn't hear it on the radio, social media, etc., is she living under a rock? She says she is closed in her house all day and the last cyclist will be through past her house at 2 p.m. Not everybody is on social media and you know yourself, you mightn't necessarily hear everything on the radio or you mightn't buy a paper and you mightn't get that information. But someone did get in touch earlier to say that it was highlighted on the radio, was highlighted in papers as well. Hi there, it's not just the race. Almost every Saturday a cycling club cycles 3 and 4 abreast, taking up the full lane going over the Carndonagh Mountain Road. I've seen the members of that club stop at the top of the hill leading down to the North Pole Bar to urinate in full view of traffic rather than using the facilities at the bar. No manners and no respect for tax paying road users. Yeah, well that's not acceptable, urinating at the side of the road. Another listener says there is an increase in scene numbers. Would that not tell you there will be more deaths? Suppose you could argue that. But Patricia Devlin from the Journal Investigates was talking about that there has been such a large increase in seals over the past number of years, but we don't have the data to say exactly how they died. So I suppose, you know, if we could determine that it was of natural causes, that would back up that point. Give a thought to the amount of time and training that goes into organising this event. That's relating to the cycling event on Saturday. It's a credit to the organisers and remember it is a race. Just to give a mention, a coffee morning is being held in the Plaza Buncrana on Friday morning from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. All proceeds are in aid of the Medjugorje charity, which includes a donation to Mary's Meals. There should not be any cycling on roads, this listener says, without a hard shoulder. There's new greenways throughout the county that are never used. Yesterday evening, another listener says, cyclist on 4 lanes carriageway in Letterkenny, not using cycle lane. What is the point in the cycle lane if it doesn't suit professional cyclists? It's so dangerous. That is such a busy route. So to have a cyclist then on that route is very dangerous. A note in from Councillor Michael McClaffrey. The water is off in the Glashu area. Please be patient as it's several bursts and it's proving challenging for the workers on the ground who are doing their best. There's no time frame of when this will be sorted. No guarantee it will be today due to the nature of the problems. Call Irish Water to complain with your air cord, says Councillor McClaffrey. You can call them on 1800 278 278. To whom it may concern, my name is Jason. I'm 53 years old, living in Port Arlington, and I have suffered with epilepsy for the last 28 years, and it has only been getting worse as time goes by. I now take 3 different types of seizures and 20 times more medication than when it first started. I have broken more bones and busted my head and face from falling down outside and at home. I've done all that was asked of me and have still been denied disability allowance, even though Citizens Advice said I'm entitled to it. My doctors say the same thing. And yet the DA say I don't qualify. I was just wondering if any of your listeners have the same problem as I do. Thank you for your time is the message there. So if anybody is in the same situation as Jason, get in touch by calling us on 074 91 25000, text or WhatsApp 086 60 25000. You can also, as Jason did, email comments@highlandradio.com. Now, many of you out there will be familiar with the Mica Action Group. Many homeowners affected by the defective block issue will have no doubt received great support from them over the years. But the Mica Action Group, that was formed in 2014, is now this morning announcing that they are formally closing that campaign after 11 years of advocacy. I'm joined by Deputy Chairperson of the group, Tricia Sullivan. Good morning to you, Tricia.
Good morning, Michaela. Thank you for having me.
This is no doubt the end of an era. I'm sure it was a hard decision for yourselves to come to this stage.
Definitely the end of an era. It was a difficult decision. It was something that we've been thinking about now for the past year. But when we look at the 100% Redress Party, they have four counselors now, we have a TD in place, and it just seemed like the natural progression. The Mica Action Group was formed in 2014, and there was always going to be an end date. That was the goal, and this just really seemed like the right time. I mean, of course, there's so many issues, massive issues that need to be addressed. And this is just the beginning. Mm-hmm. But it did seem like the natural progression.
And I'm sure you can look back as a group with pride of what you have achieved over the past 11 years. You know, the campaign was in Dublin. I always remember the people taken to the streets of Dublin. But you brought about so many changes as well, necessary changes to the redress scheme. Was that a hard fight, from within the group?
I feel like every day was a hard fight over all of these years with Megan. It wasn't just one person. It was so many people who were involved over the years and gave up so much of their own private time, their family time, to help out and to really push. And I think that through their work for all of these years, it's what got us to the point where we are now, where we can proudly say that we are being acknowledged.
And in terms of going forward now, you know, you mentioned the redress, the 100% redress party. They will take this now in their own form. You know, they've been elected to Donegal County Council and the Dáil. What do you see now going forward, their main challenges?
Well, the main challenges, of course, are the retrospective grant payments. Those were promised around election time for the general election. They have yet to receive that money. IS 465, which is huge, IS 465 2025, is what dictates the science, what the correct science is, that it's pyrite and pyrrhotite and cannot be remediated. Therefore, you can't have these options of 2, 3, 4, 5. Everything needs to be demolished. So IS 465 went out to public consultation. That window is closed. And I'm so happy to say that there were many, many people who responded to that and made their submissions. So that's currently being reviewed at the moment. Some other issues that are going on are downgraded homeowners. Over 100 homeowners have been downgraded based on inaccurate science. They were required to very quickly submit their appeals back in 2023. Most of them submitted their appeals and they have yet to hear back. And it's truly unfair. These decisions were made by the Housing Authority based on inaccurate science. So that's a major issue. And I think the thing that's closest to my heart and the reason why I joined MAG was for the vulnerable people, for the elderly people who can't get on the scheme. They're old, they're frail, they're tired. They can't get a loan because they're too old to get a loan. They don't have the savings. When you go in to demolish a house, all of your contents have to be removed prior to the demolish. There's also a lack of rental housing. The thought of an older person or a person with a disability moving into a trailer for a year or two is just mind-boggling to me. So you think about that. And then...
And that's what made MAG so significant, and the impact that the group was able to have was that everybody involved had the lived experience of this crisis. And you mentioned there, vulnerable people, could have been your neighbours. You know, you were right at the heart of this.
Right. Vulnerable people is the part that really, really is close to my heart. Karen Kirby is a professor at Ulster University in psychology, and she did a recent study which was published, and she addresses anxiety, depression, PTSD, chronic PTSD, and suicidal ideation. Those figures are 2, 3, 4 times higher in Donegal alone. And that is just staggering. The physical and the mental health from chronic stress, the issues that people are having here, are significantly higher than the rest of the country. And it shouldn't have to be that. I met with myself and the rest of MAG, met with Minister James Brown, the Minister of Housing. And this was part of the discussion. All of these areas were part of the discussion. And currently on the scheme, you're allowed to have a certain amount of talk therapy, but you have to be on the scheme to avail of that. A lot of people aren't on the scheme because they can't afford to be on the scheme. They're blocked by the scheme. Their applications are in limbo. And there is therapy out there. And I think that it's so important that we take care of our mental health and our physical health, because one way or another, this stress is really going to get you. And we really need to take care of each other. But I think on the plus side of all of this is that progress is absolutely being made. And we definitely need to see more people participating, getting active in the campaign, and just being supportive of each other. I think we have a long way to go, but we're making great strides.
And all that work that the MAG Action Group has done over the years that you touched on there, you know, the research that you have gathered and you know, the group has publicised, that feeds into now moving this forward, moving the campaign in the form of the 100% Redress Party forward to finally seeing proper redress for homeowners. So, you know, it's a huge pat on the back for the group from where you came.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I think that all of the people throughout all of the years who have volunteered, who've given their time, really can hold their heads high. And I believe that over the years, we've seen so much gratitude coming back from the public. And especially now, people are really coming out and just showing their thanks. But I mean, we're just ordinary people, all of us, who are just trying our best to help.
And you have to remember, you mentioned there, you're ordinary people. None of you had experience in dealing with the government, dealing with the housing department representatives. How difficult was that, navigating that process over the past few years?
It's been extremely difficult. It felt like we were knocking on doors constantly, and in some cases we were shut out. Even with the at a local level with Donegal County Council for the defective concrete block group, MAG had always been allowed into those meetings, and then last year we were no longer allowed in. It was just by invitation only when they chose, which was extremely unfortunate. But I am happy to say a new day. Tabashawn Devine is now in charge of that group, which is amazing. And I look forward to the progress.
And it really has been people power. And even, you know, the campaigns that the group led on social media, you know, it was constant. So the issue never fell from the headlines. And I think that over the years, you know, you got the commitment that the scheme would be reviewed. And that was amazing to achieve what you have. And, you know, nationally, it's a great achievement.
Nationally, it is a great achievement. I think that Donegal opened the doors to other counties getting on the scheme. But we do have to look at this and say, this is not just Donegal. It's not just Sligo. It's not just Mayo. We're finding this in, I think it's 22 counties now or more throughout the country. So this is not just a Donegal problem anymore, but it is a massive, massive problem.
We got a comment in there from a listener. Massive thank you to these campaigners. If it wasn't for them and their campaign, there would be no house rebuilds. They were a voice for us when our politicians failed us and continue to fail us in this journey. And I suppose that speaks for many homeowners in this defective block crisis. Do you feel the politicians over the past 11 years that this group has been in operation, do you feel that they have become a bigger voice outside of the 100% redress party?
I think there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. A lot of work. When we met with Minister Brown, I'm very happy to say that Padraig McLaughlin from Sinn Féin was there. He wasn't permitted to speak, but he was there in support of us, as well as Charles Ward from the 100% Redress Party. So that's very encouraging.
And what would you say is the biggest achievement of the group?
The biggest achievement of the group is just constantly pushing, working so hard, and making this known to people. I think Paul Dunlop, who's an amazing scientist, just proving that this is not mica. Mica is something that can be remediated. It's pyrite, pyrrhotite, which cannot be remediated. Bringing awareness. Every day we were out there on social media, just pushing and pushing and bringing awareness, bringing education to the people. And I think the constant beating on the drum has really made a difference and brought us to where we are now. We have a long, long way to go, but headway has been made.
And you,
I think every person should be proud of that.
Absolutely. And do you feel that it will be difficult to step away a bit, but I suppose you're still seeking redress as homeowners yourselves?
Do you think it would be difficult to step personally?
Yeah.
Oh, personally? Well, I am currently, I was asked to join the 100% Party and the executive committee as the secretary. So I'm currently involved in that. And then we have Kelly McGonigal, who was working on media with MAG, and she is completely dedicated. Her full job is working with the 100% Redress Party as the secretary, and she's available to everyone to help answer questions and solve problems. She's pretty amazing. And our AGM should be coming up within the next maybe 2 months, and we're looking forward to seeing more people.
And I suppose that experience that, you know, yourself and Kelly have is invaluable now going forward, and everything that the Mica Action Group has worked on, it's all evidence. It's all evidence going forward. Like, it's just, I think the history of the Mica Action Group will continue for a long time beyond this as well.
Absolutely. And again, it was a collaborative effort through the years, through so many people.
That is Tricia Sullivan, Deputy Chairperson of the Mica Action Group. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. As I said at the start, it is the end of an era, but a huge pat on the back, and well done to what the Mica Action Group, all of you, have achieved over the past 11 years.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tricia. Now, looking to a few of your comments again, I often see people jogging or cycling on the Rock Hill Road, which can barely fit two cars and has many blind turns. There's so many places in the town to do this safely. So why do people endanger themselves and others? It's crazy, says this listener. Hello, just to highlight the narrow roads in Critch Island, how have no improvements or widening of the roads ever been done? It's a busy road leading to the golf course, graveyard, many residences and many campervans in the area. area this time of year. It's dangerous, really. Anyone know why money is not spent here? It is such a beautiful beach as well there. So you can imagine why so many people are frequenting that route. Big focus by many on the delays in getting justice, but none whatsoever on the UN-owned security measures. Two jeeps, there was more for bank transfers by the Irish Army, a listener says. A drill was found at the top of Lisnennan in Letterkenny this morning to reclaim. You can give us a call here and we'll give out that number there. A listener says, can we start talking about Wee Harvey instead of focusing on other issues such as Indians being attacked? That is the case of, you will have seen it in the news recently. That's the case of Harvey Morrison Sherrett. He spent 7 years waiting on spinal surgery before being operated on last winter. But however, by the time his operation came around, the curvature of his spine was a life-threatening 130 degrees, crushing his rib cage and lungs, placing severe pressure on his heart and restricting his breathing. And unfortunately, Harvey passed away 2 weeks ago. Now, the weather is glorious and many people will be out and about, but it's important to always remember that we need to protect ourselves from the sun. I'm joined now by Mary Ferry, who is the owner of Genesis Aesthetic Skin and Hair Studio in Gidor. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Michaela. How are you?
Good, thank you. So the weather is absolutely beautiful, but obviously it's so tempting to just run out the door. But how vital is it that we protect ourselves from the rays?
Okay, so Michaela, the best sunscreen that's really, really important, and not just when the sun is shining, because we need to protect our skin like 352 days of the year, because it's the light we're supposed to protect our skin from, not just the sun. And it's important to wear like a 30 SPF factor upwards, not anything below that. And I know a lot of foundations and makeup have SPFs in them, but they're quite low. They're like SPF 15, SPF 20.
Because I would always assume if your makeup had SPF in it that was enough, but obviously not.
Not really, no, because I think 30 plus, and it's hard. You know, you don't find a makeup out there that has an SPF 30, or it's rare if you do. Normally it's 15, 20, because they can't get the consistency right. So it's best if you do aim for an SPF. It's great that they do have that. It's sun protection, but put your SPF underneath and then put your makeup on top, so you have double protection going on there.
Yeah.
But what a lot of people don't get is that they bring out their SPF only when the sun shines. And that shouldn't be. That should be that you should just make it part of your normal skin regime and put it on every single morning. And the other thing is, when you're getting an SPF, always look for the mineral-based ones, because the mineral-based ones will have two ingredients, natural minerals in them, okay. And that's titanium dioxide and zinc oxide. Now, if you get those two minerals in it, that means they're classed as a physical sunscreen, which means that they just, when you apply them, they will sit on the surface of the skin and reflect the UV rays, the damaging rays, whereas if they don't have those chemicals and minerals in it, they're going to go for a chemical one. Sorry, you go for a chemical one, which they're more synthetic and they penetrate into the skin and they're just not as effective.
Mm-hmm.
So check the ingredients, check the label and make sure it's got those two ingredients in it.
And I suppose as well, we often forget to, never mind putting on this sun cream, but we do need to apply it before we expose ourselves to the sun. We can't just pop out and then, it's very important that...
Yeah, it's better. Just, I think the best thing to do is when you're doing your cleansing in the morning and all that, make it part of your routine. But if you are in the sun for like a number of hours or on holiday or out and about, you would need to be reapplying that every couple of hours, because it will protect, but like with sweat and with, it does come away, you know, when you're perspiring. It's not going to be as effective in like, say, 4 or 5 hours' time.
And I don't want to name and shame, but someone close to me has argued that if they're wearing fake tan, that they won't get sunburned. They maintain they don't get sunburned through the fake tan, but it's the dangers of the UV rays, never mind burning.
Yeah, listen, there's no protection in your big tan, you know, at all. So when you have your big tan on, you need to be putting your SPF on top of that then. I mean, just to let you know, like research shows, so the National Cancer Society of Ireland, it shows that there's 11,000 diagnosed each year in Ireland with skin cancer, and 270 die each year in Ireland with skin cancer. So, like, it is high, and mm-hmm. I think more and more people are becoming better and more aware of it now.
And do you think that those figures are so high because we don't necessarily have beautiful sunshine like we have today, that the weather is quite dull here and people think they don't need it?
I think so. And plus as well, the Irish are, you know, a lot are fair skin. They have the freckles, fair skin, and, you know, they have the moles, and their skin's going to damage much, much faster than someone who has a sallow skin. More melanin, more pigment to protect. So we don't have that in Irish skins. And I reckon that's why it's so high. And we're just not used to wearing the SPF. Mm. We never had. Like, when I was a teenager myself, never wore it. You didn't bother. I think the damage is done when you're younger. And then the skin cancer, you develop it then when you're older, you know, because it all comes to the surface. The damage is already done. So for younger ones out there today, I would say make sure they're wearing their SPF every single day.
And do you see, Mary, a shift in the attitudes towards protecting people's skin? Do you see the younger generations coming up, they are being more proactive in relation to it?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, they're getting, I think they are. And you know, with the likes of TikTok and social media, there's more and more talk of it now. Well, like, we never heard that years ago, whereas it is happening now. So they are paying attention for sure. And I wish more did. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, just to give you an example as well, Michaela, you know what you do forget about to see with the skin clinic and people coming in for consultations, you wouldn't believe it how many people that has, when I do a consultation, the right side of their face, their right side of their neck and their right arm is so damaged from just driving, you know, when they're in the car because they're getting the rays up, the damaging rays. They will have more moles, more freckles, more pigment, all damaged on one side compared to the other.
Mm.
So you do forget, like, even sitting in a car through the windscreen,
you think you're protected. Yeah. And I even find sometimes when you're away on holidays, depending where you go, sometimes the rays are a lot stronger. And then when I come home here now, I feel the sun, I do burn a lot more easy. It must be because my skin has been exposed to stronger rays. And I feel that there is a need to apply sun cream whenever I maybe wouldn't have before.
Yeah, the rays are much, much stronger. Yeah, we just don't have that ozone layer. It's just more damaged, and we definitely need to be much more aware of it. And, you know, I know I preach every day about it when I'm here in the clinic, but I myself had skin cancer last year, and all it was the tiniest little flat piece of skin. It was like, no, not rays, it wasn't crusty. And it was just red and it didn't heal.
Yeah.
And that, I was shocked, but that was skin cancer. And that's me who applies it every single day.
Yeah.
But then as it was explained to me, that was damage that was done as a teenager.
Right. Yeah. And then it comes back. And that is worrying because, you know, say if you do change your attitude, but it's just so important to keep an eye out for any signs. And I suppose, you know, them signs that you mentioned, the crustiness, if it was raised, you didn't have any of that. But it shows you how important it is to get any kind of something that you suspect, you know, is different. And you mentioned not healing. I had actually seen somebody, she had she thought it was a cold sore on her lip, and like that, it didn't heal. And she went and it turned out to be skin cancer. So it just shows you how you need to be so careful in any kind of thing at all.
Any changes. And even doesn't matter about size, because, you know, mine was like 1 millimeter in diameter. That's also, and it doesn't matter about the size, but if it's a red patch, a brown patch, a purple patch, and it's not even raised, still, if it's not healing or any change, you just get it checked, doesn't it? And don't leave it. And especially, I would see a lot of clients with the crusty raised bumps in the skin, and if they're cracked and they don't heal, They might heal scab over, then they break up again. And that's something that needs to be checked. Right. You know, don't hang about. Just go see a dermatologist and to be safe and get it checked out.
Yeah. And is sun damage reversible at all?
No. The only thing you can reverse, like say if you've got pigmentation on the skin, large patches, which a lot of people will do, and you will see as well, as the hormones change in the body, you know, when you go into menopause, as you get older, that those little clumps of melanocyte cells that were once freckles, they start to clump together and they form like pigmentation stains, like bigger patches. That does happen with age anyway. Now, they're treatable. They can be treated quite well with laser, and they also can be treated with having certain size, types of creams on to use to lighten them. But to be honest with you, you know, to explain a damaged piece of skin, like pigment like that on the skin, it's like taking a cup of coffee and you pour a cup of coffee onto a mattress and you're looking at the surface of the mattress and you can see the brown stain on the mattress, but you have no idea how deep that is in the skin. Is it down at the dermal layer? Is it below that? You don't know. Mm. So going in to get that treated, it's pure trial and error. You go in with the setting, you try and see if you can lift it. And you might get a nice result, or you might get a complete clear result. But at the end of the day, that has to be protected with an SPF 50 for the rest of your life, because it will just come back, and it'll come back worse if you didn't protect it. So it's hard to treat. It's treatable. Don't get me wrong. It's treatable. It can lighten it.
But it's the unknown beneath the surface, I suppose, is
this. This is it. You don't know. We don't know how deep it is. Mm-hmm. You don't know. No.
Yeah, so I suppose take the precautions and then we won't have to worry about that. So an evening is being held on Monday the 18th, this coming Monday. You are heavily involved in the Donegal ETB and they're highlighting their funded beauty therapist traineeship at the Gidor Training Centre. And this is a great opportunity, Mary, for a load of people.
Oh, yeah. You know, anybody out there who's potentially interested in a career in the beauty industry and employers, invite everyone to come along, because we're showcasing the facilities we have, which are amazing down at ETB. And we are going to show them. We've revamped the beauty therapy course. So we've updated it. So like Michaela, the beauty industry is always revolving and changing all the time. So you have to keep with the time. So we have shortened the course, but we've also introduced some new modules so that at the end, the students are much more employable back than when it used to be. Excuse me, 1 second.
You're fine. Just a reminder there that the evening is this coming Monday, as mentioned, it's at the Donegal ETB Training Centre in Gidor, the Beauty Therapist Traineeship. Mary, you mentioned there that there's been new modules introduced. What are they?
The new modules we're introducing is gel polish, which is popular in salons now. And you've got the BIAB and e-file courses. And we're also...
Mary's very busy there. Obviously, if you're interested in a career in beauty, you can see there by Mary that it is quite popular. And just to let you know that the next traineeship is also scheduled to start in September 2025. You're fine, Mary. I was just saying that obviously if anybody's interested in a career in beauty, you're very busy. So there is a need there.
And just Michaela, one thing as well, I'd love to just get it out there too. We should invite the employers along as well, because we're also doing giving information on the advantages of taking on a student, and also to let them know about the funded upskilling courses that are available for employers and employees. And there's also employer grants available, such as the Job Plus grant. And there'll be somebody there in the evening to explain all that.
And are the courses, do they cover all modules, or can you pick a specific module that you would like to engage with?
No, to be honest, like we are doing the full beauty therapy. iTech is an iTech beauty therapy course. And, you know, iTech has got a very high standard and it's recognised worldwide. So we have to do the beauty specialist diploma, and that consists of like your facials, your eye treatment, your manicure, your pedicure, makeup and waxing. And that's a diploma on its own. And then after that, then we do the holistic massage diploma, because there's a lot of salons provide massage. And then if you're wanting to go into the spa area, you'll have your massage. And then after that, we do the add-ons then, which is the new modules, which is the Biab and E-File. We'll do an advanced makeup, gel polish, and advanced waxing. So all of that is needed, like nowadays with the new revolving of the salon.
And you mentioned there the employers. That is so important, because it's not just a traineeship and you're left on your own then to find employment, but having employers there that you can signpost people to. That is obviously the main aim of this for people engaging with the scheme.
Oh, absolutely. And to be like the majority of the students who do go out into salons and get their placement after, well, they don't go out after, it's 20 weeks in college, mm-hmm. then they go out after the 20 weeks for 2 days a week. They actually, the majority of them get to stay on in their salons. They're given employment. So the employment rate is really, really high after the course. And it's lovely that they've gained experience throughout the course, and then the employer provides employment for them, because they can see, you know, that they've proven to us that they do really well within the salon environment.
Yeah. And Mary, if anybody's interested, where can they find out more information on that?
They can contact Letterkenny ETB, or they can call, 07491 20500.
Great. Mary Ferry, owner of Genesis Aesthetic Skin and Hair Studio in Gidore, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Lovely. Thank you, Michaela, for having me.
Highland Radio weather updates with McElhinney's. Get back to school sorted with all the essentials from school jumpers to shoes. Visit our kidswear department in store or shop online at McElhinney's.com today.
Today's weather, very warm and humid. Scattered cloud will build through the afternoon and a few showers are possible in places. Highest temperatures of 24 to 27 degrees. Some more of your comments coming in this morning. To the person commenting on Rock Hill Road running, this road has been used for running for decades, with the first official running of the tradition 10k loop in the mid 80s. It is a perfect 10k loop, 10.5 kilometres aura to aura. It has been suggested countless times to create a running or cycling path along the Rock Hill Road, yet nothing has been done to create this. There is a 60 kilometre per hour speed limit on this road, and as an avid runner, very few people stick to this limit. There are clear warning signs for drivers to expect runners and cyclists along this road. Motorists need to step up and slow down, but most importantly, Donegal County Council must be pressed for road widening with a clear running lane along this historic running loop. I suppose that is the issue, that motorists aren't adhering to the speed limit there, and you know, the council could argue that there is sufficient signage in place and that the speed limit is there, that should create some form of safety for the runners. But obviously those that engage in that running, they know themselves what challenges they are encountering. Another listener says, Indians getting attacked in the news is an agenda. This is a government agenda for hate speech. No attack should happen, but we don't talk about Irish people getting attacked. I know of a young child that was attacked by a traveller, but that won't be spoken about, as you're deemed a racist if you speak out against the travellers. I don't think that is the case, and I think any attack against anybody should be condemned, never mind race, or what ethnic group you come from. Any attack on anybody is totally unacceptable. A notice in at Drummond School in Kilmacrenan on the Loch Fern Road, there are 6 or 7 young cattle out on the road there. Just to give another mention, Ors to Protect is on this evening. It's back on the airwaves after the 8 o'clock news. This month, Donna Marie Doherty is unravelling the complex world of fast fashion and what it truly means for our planet and our pockets. So tune in as she explores the hidden environmental and social impacts of our clothing choices and the simple actions we can all take to dress with a clear conscience. Ors to Protect is brought to you by Highland Radio, the IBI, and funded by Commissioner Mann with the the television licence fee. So that's on after the 8 o'clock news this evening. We've lots more to come in the final hour of the show, including Wellness Wednesday. And Chris Ashmore will be here as well with his update on what is coming on Business Matters this week.